previously on Love and Justice. After our talk with Sean, I worked with our team here, and we sent 3 requests directly to the Milwaukee Police Department asking for the case files. We told them that we had partnered with Sean and that we wanted him to take a look at the files. We also sent out 18 FOIA requests to local, state, and federal agencies. And as if that wasn't enough, we also sent out 30 formal written requests for the case files. Every single request was denied.
You have to find out everything you can about Ashley. And that, I believe, at some point will give you an answer, because what are we looking for first? We're looking for motive. Why? The opportunity is there, right? They came in a door and knew exactly where they were going, so the opportunity was there. But what is the motive?
In episode 3, we had a chance to interview people who knew Ashley Love well. All of these people talking about Ashley act as puzzle pieces that go together to help us paint a picture of Ashley's victimology, something that Sean Smith says is the bedrock to any successful investigation.
What is the motive? You have to know everything you can possibly know about your victim. Everything, every detail. I don't care how uncomfortable it is. You have to find out everything you can about Ashley.
The goal of this process is to learn everything we can about Ashley so that potential cracks begin to reveal themselves. It's the age-old adage that knowledge is power. It's better to know more about your victim than not enough. As we began our quest for victimology, we heard from Ashley's friends, family, and colleagues, and together they helped us paint a picture of who Ashley was, what Ashley was passionate about, and what her future motivations were. There are still a lot of questions that remain unanswered, and we continue to push forward in an effort to answer those tough questions. There's one person who knew Ashley better than almost anyone else, and that was Ashley's best friend, Kayla. Kayla and I actually grew up together. When I would visit the Love's house for sleepovers with Anthony, Kayla was often there having sleepovers with Ashley. What I saw during my sleepovers and hangouts was the same thing that everyone else saw. Kayla and Ashley were inseparable. They were the best of friends by every definition. The type of best friends that you see in the movies where they share the same pair of jeans or create secret handshakes. You know, two peas in a pod. When I started the process of working on Love and Justice, I reached out to Kayla about doing an interview. She did not respond to any of my requests. I understand that some people may not want to participate in this podcast for a number of reasons. Some simply may be trying to move on with their lives, while others may be afraid that something might happen, that someone might actually come after them for saying or sharing something. If I'm being completely honest, I have also had this fear. Not just once, numerous times. But after talking to Sean about this fear, he eased my mind.
You know, that's a simple explanation. I don't think I've seen that in cold cases. It's bullshit, more shit, piled higher and deeper shit. I just have not seen that.
Sean goes on to explain that this does not happen in cold cases. People don't come out of the woodwork and try and hunt down folks that may still be talking about the case. The main reason for this is simple. They put themselves at risk by doing this. And if the case is cold, they are better off staying quiet and keeping out of the limelight. I understand and respect Kayla's decision not to participate, and I ask that others respect that decision as well. However, in lieu of Kayla, today I have invited someone else who was also very close to Ashley, who actually was Kayla's ex-boyfriend. That's happening today, right now, on Love and Justice. Welcome to Love and Justice. I'm your host, Kyle Olson. Austin was the boyfriend of Ashley's best friend toward the end of their high school career and into the early parts of college. He was witness to a beautiful friendship, and due to his relationship with Kayla at the time, had a front row seat to the aftermath of Ashley's death.
Who Ashley was is really what makes this whole thing so tragic to me. She was just a very nice, respectable, loving, caring person. She was a really good friend to anybody that knew her and was fortunate enough to call her a friend. She was responsible and funny and light. I can't think of a single negative adjective for Ashley. She was just a good person. Ashley was always a very positive person, and it seemed like she had everything going for her. You know, just that age where you're learning how to drive and getting your license and things of that nature. She had a lot of things going for her and very loving relationships with all of her friends, coworkers, family, and just had everything looking up for Ashley Love. And there was never any point in time where you might look at her and think, huh, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? Something's bothering you. That was not Ashley. That would have been a very foreign look for her.
And how did you meet Ashley?
Ashley and I met at Arby's working together, but this Arby's wasn't just any Arby's. This was in Mayfair Mall, Wisconsin.
Can you tell us about Mayfair Mall?
It is one of the largest, busiest malls I've ever been inside. Just about any walk of life can be found inside that mall, and it's often just extremely crowded and lots of action going on. The food court, I want to say, had maybe a little over a dozen vendors to choose food from. All sorts of clothing stores, electronics stores, kitchen stores, any store you can imagine is there. It started in early morning, we'd start a shift, and you'd get these mall walkers. And there's these older generation of folks who essentially come to kind of mingle with each other and literally do laps around the mall for a significant chunk of the early morning. And this is before the normal stores would open up. So these aren't shoppers. These are just kind of social older folks. And actually Arby's was the place that they had to go for their coffee and their turnovers in the morning, because we were really the only restaurant serving anything at this time. Burger King had closed down, so we kind of got all of their breakfast business. After that, you'd get a wave of maybe moms on break from lunch, people not in school anymore, coming through, a little bit of the younger generation. Not until a little later in the afternoon when it would typically get very busy, at least during the week. And then you've got all the school kids just out of school and just kind of a remnants of all of the rest of the other people I'd already mentioned that are there, working class, getting out of work. Everybody would be there, you know, the cool kids at high school might get together and go hit the shops. Girlfriends, girlfriend and boyfriend wandering the stores, all walks of life, all shapes, sizes, colors, everybody could be found there. And that made it a really unique experience. I've never worked in any setting like that before. And I've worked in a lot of food service, but never, ever had quite such a wide base of clientele. And it was amazing the people you got to know working there. You don't just work with your, you know, 7 or 8 other coworkers. You're working alongside 100 or 200 other people on any given day. And we actually got to meet a lot of people from a lot of different stores. We'd even trade food sometimes with some of the other restaurants. And, you know, Ashley in particular, that personality she had, she got to know so many people, and that people would just come by to talk to her, and she'd be making the trades for us, you know, new people that didn't know the ropes so much, but we wanted maybe some Tokyo Kitchen or whatever might have been across the way. In that regard, I think her personality and professionalism really kind of shone through.
How did you first get involved with Arby's? Was it because of Ashley?
So I met Ashley at Arby's, but I didn't meet Arby's with Ashley necessarily. I had at least two friends who had been working at the Mayfair location for a period of time. That's how I got my foot in that door. So coming into this circle, I only knew two people right off the bat, but it was a very quick process to kind of be absorbed into that whole kind of clique that worked there because of the atmosphere that I think Ashley was a big part in creating. Everybody was very comfortable around each other and friendly and helpful, and that kind of, I think, made it really easy to become friends outside of work. And in a very short period of time, we'd go out to places like the Golden Corral, a big buffet kind of in the area, things like that. We wouldn't just hang out in work. It really became a relatively tight-knit group of friends working together.
And to be clear, is Arby's also where you met Kayla, who would later become your girlfriend?
I met Kayla working at Arby's, one of Ashley's friends, actually her best friend. I met Kayla, and it wasn't like a instant falling in love process, but she was just this really nice, sweet, cute girl, and really easy to be yourself around and laid back. And I really enjoyed that, and we actually started dating after not too terribly long of knowing each other. And that's a big part of how I got to know Ashley well and outside of just the workplace environment, was because of that very close relationship Kayla and Ashley had together while I and Kayla were going out together.
So it sounds like you mainly hung out with Ashley because Kayla and Ashley were always together, right? Is that accurate?
Anytime I hung out with Ashley outside of work, Kayla was definitely there. They were quite inseparable. I know I texted her, probably usually about either work or Kayla or something of that effect. But yeah, we really never hung out one-on-one, unfortunately. I wish that we had. She's just such a great character and person. But she was definitely a big part of the group, and that was really important.
What was it like watching this friendship with Kayla and Ashley?
Kayla and Ashley's friendship was about as close as any friendship I've ever seen.
Really?
If Kayla was doing anything with anybody, Ashley was there. And I'm sure it went just about the same for Ashley with Kayla. And they were just kind of these two girls that would be talking to each other almost in a foreign language, like in code, the jokes and the behind-the-scenes stuff that we hadn't witnessed coming out in the open, and they'd laugh about it all of a sudden, and or, you know, make a joke about something without anybody else being kin to it. It was just kind of this girlfriends being girlfriends and just being on kind of the same spectrum, the same mind, almost like a telepathic link type thing. And it was really interesting to see because Kayla and Ashley as an individual person, when they entered the room together, they were in that room, and you could tell that was just something really special, and they brought out the best in each other.
I'd like to, if we can, talk a little bit about Ashley at work some more. Can you tell me a little bit about Ashley's work style? What was she like at Arby's?
Ashley had quite an interesting take on working at Arby's. I think most people that work in fast food of any sort really don't develop any kind of drive for it. It's just kind of a job, or maybe an in-between step, or something just for a little extra cash. But Ashley, she really did care about the job and the people there, and you could tell that she was interested in it and was passionate. Her family was involved in it. Her friends were there. She was really, really good at it. And it seemed like she could teach you without even trying to teach you. Like you could just watch her and experience that and learn from it. That's just how good she was at work. It was just kind of amazing. She was like a working computer there, and not that she was a, you know, unfeeling machine. She was this fun, flighty personality, but very methodical in her steps and talking to the customers and dealing with issues, things like that. It was quite impressive, actually, something you don't see much in the fast food industry.
What do you think Ashley's biggest strength was when she was at work?
I would say the one thing Ashley was best at the job was kind of being like our HR rep or customer relations rep or even inter-work rep. She was really good at bringing the team together and making it a team and getting people comfortable there and to know each other and really making it a nice work environment for the crew. And I think that means a lot in that type of workplace, because sometimes you're just getting slammed with customers and issues keep popping up and it can be very frustrating. But when you've got someone there kind of to keep the team on an even keel and, you know, help with anything she can, she was really good at keeping us together and clear of fatal error, you know, in the workplace environment.
All right, let's jump forward a little bit more in time. Do you remember the day that Ashley was taken from us? Do you remember where you were?
So the day this tragedy happened, I woke up early in the morning, got to work, probably on time, maybe a minute or two late, and instantly knew something was not quite right, because Ashley was never one to be late for work. If anything, she was 10 or 15 minutes early, habitually, and just very responsible in that regard. And she was scheduled to work that morning with me and open the store, pretty normal procedure, and she wasn't there. And I think I texted her and waited, you know, maybe about 5 minutes or so, maybe tried to give her a phone call to see when she was going to be there. When I couldn't get any answer from her, I got a hold of Brighton, our store's general manager. And he, I believe, got in touch with the Love family, and I didn't get a response from him for quite some time. I just kind of went about my daily tasks, and after a period, Brighton showed up at work at the Mayfair Mall food court, and his eyes were bloodshot red. You could tell he'd probably been crying for quite some time before he decided to walk into that store. And that's when it just hit me that what the heck happened? Is what's going on? Is everyone okay? No, everyone's not okay. It was just surreal. And I think we even just closed the store that day. Brighton just turned everything off and we just kind of left it that way. It's kind of ingrained in my memory just because of how strange that experience was. It was just such a shock. Everything about it was unnatural and just strange.
What was your first reaction to hearing all of this news? Do you remember how you responded and, like, what was going through your mind at this point?
You know, when I heard out of Brighton that Ashley had been killed, obviously, my first reaction is like, oh, God, she got in an accident. What happened? You know, and no, it's not like she got killed in a car accident. Somebody killed her on purpose. And that's when it hits you, that confusion. Like, are we talking about the same Ashley here? Like, this is Ashley Love that I work with, my friend. Nobody killed her. Like, that's impossible. Why? Who? What? I don't understand. It was mind-boggling to hear that, those words said about this person who was just such a kind, loving, caring, nice individual. I would imagine she never did anything wrong in her life to anybody, to any effect. And she ends up dead by somebody else's hand intentionally? I still don't understand it, to be honest.
Did you have any sort of gut reaction as to why this might have happened to Ashley?
My gut feeling was that this has to be some kind of mistake. There's no way Ashley Love was targeted for murder. No way. After all this time, and it has been a long time, but there's seldom a very long time where I haven't thought about it, where it hasn't crossed my mind. Something tells me the only link between she and this killer would have been some type of DNA evidence left at the scene, or a recording of some sort, or anything. I've played through these events many times in my head. It's still all incredibly foggy. I still don't see how Ashley could have been targeted. I just don't see it.
Did the police come to Arby's on the day Ashley was actually killed?
At first, when the detectives came to us, we were all at work, and they came in to Arby's, to Mayfair Mall, went to Arby's, went in the hallway adjacent to Arby's, behind the scenes, kind of, where it's kind of employees only, and they pulled each one of us aside for a brief period and ran us through some pretty standard questions, most of them things like, did she do drugs? Was she around drugs or guns or money? Did she know unsavory people? Was there any threats that you heard about? Was she worrying about something? Did she seem like she was sad or afraid? So it was real weird, but it seemed like it maybe could have gone a little bit further than they did.
Austin is not the only one who recalls talking to the police at Arby's. CJ, another colleague, remembers being interviewed vividly as well.
Yeah, I talked to them, and then they forgot to take me out of the system, so then I had to talk to them again, because they forgot about the first conversation or something. It was something like they wanted to talk to me and couldn't find me at first. Then they came to my work and talked to me, but didn't take the flag off of my name in their computers. So then during a traffic stop, all of a sudden they're like, hey, you have to go downtown and talk about this murder. I'm like, whoa. Not a good time. You know, that's one mistake that should have been kind of simple thing. You have to wonder what other mistakes might have been made, even though I should just end that sentence there. Yeah, that was it.
No, please. What were you going to say?
It does make me wonder that they couldn't take the flag off of my name in the computer system. It should be just two clicks. What other details may have been missed in her case? I do understand they're trying to do a big job, and it is hard to cover all of your bases because of that, and just because of maybe limited resources or other things. I think it's possible they may have missed an important interview or important detail in an interview that they did have.
I imagine it's hard during an investigation, especially when you have a clock ticking within the first 48 hours of a murder. Not only did the police have a clock ticking, but they have a lot of variables to balance. Who is worth talking to? How much information might any one person hold? But to many who were questioned right after Ashley's murder, things felt rushed and unfinished. We go back now to Austin as he explains more.
I guarantee you I can't be the only one thinking it, that the detective work that was done was devastatingly subpar, at least in my opinion. The questions were not very thorough and pinpointed. It was kind of maybe just other slightly less general questions that they wanted to ask now that they had no other useful leads to go on. Certainly, you know, from my point of view, I'm thinking that these guys should be sitting down with everybody they can, everyone that'll work with them. They should sit them down for an hour or two and hammer out every single hunch, inkling, you know, scratching of a possibility that anybody could think of in that time, and then maybe go from there. That never really happened in my experience. I don't think it happened in anyone's. Maybe some people that were much closer to Ashley, but I don't even think Kayla spent all that much time with the detectives. It just seemed to me and to the rest of us, you know, the bros, that this investigation wasn't really proper in our minds. Not that we're professional investigators, but we just kind of thought there was a lot that wasn't being done. And rather than give in to helplessness and hopelessness, we decided to maybe try and do something about it.
So what did you decide to do?
A loving friend of mine, Lon, he was an integral part of this Arby's crew of ours, this circle of friends. And he and myself and Sam and I think even CJ actually went out of our way to try and figure some of this stuff out. We were incredibly tight-knit group of guys back in that day, and we saw each other damn near daily. And in that hanging out time after this happened, a very large chunk of that hanging out time was spent talking about those events and the case and this ongoing investigation and trying to figure out what the heck happened. And as a matter of fact, I think one night when we were, you know, drinking a couple beers together, playing some video games, talking, we even made a pact with each other that we were going to do whatever we could to figure this stuff out, even though we had very limited resources, knowledge, and zero experience. But we were extremely frustrated that this case hadn't made any progress, any noticeable progress on our end anyway. And we, I think, just kind of made a, to quote a weird term, a bro pact. That's what we called ourselves, the bros in those days. This tight-knit group of guys, Lon and I and a couple others. And we made a pact together to figure this thing out because nobody else was. And we tried.
Wow. Did Tammy and the Love family ever know about this pact?
I think so. I believe I had Tammy's number at some point, but I'm almost positive that Lon had it. And I believe he had contacted her at least once or twice through this, you know, kind of side investigation that we had been doing, and maybe told her if we got any useful clues or ideas or had any questions for her, because obviously she would have been very important in trying to figure out what's the right information to be looking for.
So what did you guys try and do as a part of this pact?
We, as part of this pact, trying to figure out what the heck happened, largely a big portion of it was talking to each other and spitballing off of each other, like, hey, what about this person? There's this one guy at the mall, or I saw her talking to this one person, or I heard this one thing. We had learned about a blue truck that may have been seen around the time of this tragedy and may have been linked to Ashley's murder. So this pact we had made, for example, we scoured Facebook for people and pictures that looked like they had some relevance, and we found this truck that matched the description of this blue pickup truck that was parked outside, and we found the location around where that truck might be. That was some side street somewhere in Milwaukee, maybe even an alley that it may have been parked in, but I couldn't today tell you that exact location anymore. Wasn't terribly far away from the Love's address. You know, Milwaukee is not, area-wise, a very large city. So I would say probably within 6 or 7 miles of the scene of the crime, the house, the Love house.
Okay, let me clarify. You actually went to a house near Ashley's house to try and find this blue truck.
We actually went there, saw the truck in person, and contacted these detectives about it. So we found this truck searching on Facebook, and there was this theory that she had may have been seeing somebody in very much private. I don't believe anybody knew about this. Maybe this is that truck that was parked outside, and maybe he owns it, and maybe this could solve this thing.
It should be worth noting here that while Austin and the Bro Pact were busy trying to hunt down a blue pickup truck, there were other people trying to do the exact same thing. Like Tammy, Ashley's mother.
I gathered people together, and I went searching my own neighborhood. Like, we went searching our own neighborhood looking for a blue pickup truck. And I would call them up and say, I saw one in this driveway. I saw one in that driveway. I really did. They probably thought I was crazy, but I'm like, you said this, you know?
There were other people who also wanted to help, but they never quite found a way to break through. Alyssa Torres, a friend of Ashley, explains how she felt after Ashley was first killed.
I was ready to be an investigator. I wanted to know if she was talking to any boys. I wanted to know if there was that jealousy that was going on, or was it the wrong house, or did someone actually target her? No one wanted to talk about anything with me.
So despite many people trying, the only really successful group that seemingly ran their own investigation after Ashley's death was the Bro Pack. They heard some clues about a blue pickup truck, and they got busy researching. They scoured Facebook, they followed some clues, and they actually found a truck.
We actually went there, saw the truck in person, and contacted these detectives about it. We're basically told to lay off and back off and stay out of it. And that's kind of when the fire inside of us died down a little bit in terms of getting at this case on our own.
Interesting. So the detectives more or less told you guys to stop. And what did you guys make of that?
Well, we didn't want to be caught up in any legal problems ourselves, honestly. We stopped at least communicating with the detectives about anything we did. I'm sure most of anything we did really was kind of just talking, maybe online research, and nothing ever really came of that. We weren't about to be caught by these detectives somewhere we shouldn't be, you know, and then we've got a real problem because we're interfering with an investigation, and we certainly didn't want to hold them up or mess anything up for those professionals, and then it's all of a sudden it's our fault now that maybe this case hasn't been solved. That would just be very not good. So we kind of backed off. I think we were all a bit sour about it. We were really trying. We were kind of excited when we got that truck lead, and that's probably part of the reason that today Lon is not trying to participate in this anymore. I think he was probably hurt by that whole scenario the most. Took it personally, I think.
So, did you keep any of the notes on where this truck was? Do you remember, or did you write it down? I'm hearing all this, and I would absolutely love to go back on any of your notes if you have any still.
Unfortunately, I have no idea. We gave the detectives all the information we had. I didn't keep a personal notebook of the case or anything, no newspaper scraps or anything. When we pulled up and actually saw the thing in real life, or when we were looking at this Facebook character's pictures and whatnot, it was just kind of surreal thinking that, wow, this guy may have killed somebody, our good friend, in fact, and that truck might have been the getaway vehicle. It was all kind of mind-blowing at the time. It was a pretty big adrenaline rush when you're 18, 19 years old trying to solve your friend's murder and you feel like you may have had something.
The blue truck theory relates directly to the secret friend theory, which is one of the most popular theories in this entire case, because it's the only potential narrative that has really been pushed by the Milwaukee Police Department. 2 months after Ashley's death, investigators held a press conference with Tammy and Joe, Ashley's parents, in a plea to search for new clues, evidence, and answers. During the press conference, the investigators said that they were looking for a person of interest who might have been having a secret relationship with Ashley. They believed this person of interest may have been driving a blue pickup truck.
Police say their suspect fits the description of an acquaintance Ashley kept secret from family and friends.
And it appeared to the people that saw those two interact that she didn't want other people to know she was meeting with this person.
Police haven't been able to identify the friend. He's white, in his early 20s, thin, and drives a blue pickup with a pinstripe down the side, chrome rims, and tinted windows.
We believe this guy may have worked in the outside construction trade over the summer months, And it was during those months that we believe he met with Ashley.
When the secret friend theory was announced, it was a bit of a bombshell to family and friends. This theory took the family by surprise. Tammy, who was at the press conference, didn't even know about this theory until she heard the words coming out of the lieutenant's mouth. I'll let Tammy explain this one for herself.
Whatever they said, I had no clue. I had never heard. I'm like, what are they talking about? I'm like, I didn't believe it was a secret. Person, no, I don't believe that.
So as you're hearing all this, after the press conference, did you ask them where all this info came from?
I did ask them, and of course, you know, they wouldn't say too much to me. It's kind of running around. They said they talked to people in the neighborhood, and they saw this blue pickup truck and some guy that was by the blue pickup truck. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, if that's the case, go find him. Go find him if that's the case. There's plenty of trucks, cars in our neighborhood.
Not only was the secret friend theory a surprise, it was also extremely frustrating. As Tammy mentions, the information that the police released didn't seem extremely actionable. The description they gave was merely a thin white male in his early 20s with a blue pickup truck. Authorities also mentioned that this person of interest may have worked in construction. There are a lot of thin white males in Milwaukee, and probably even more blue pickup trucks. Further, those that knew Ashley best don't believe she was having any sort of secret side friendships. Austin explains this further.
She was not one to be sneaking out to talk to anybody or, you know, in a hushed conversation, never anything suspicious. Not even anything indicating that she had any type of relationship outside of the working relationships and friendships that we all knew and loved. Ashley was largely an open book. I would say if there was anything secret about her life, it was definitely not secret to everybody. I've heard a lot of this secret character that they talk about, and it really doesn't make any sense from my angle, only because we were all so close with each other and so accepting. It's like, where would this secret person come from? Who would he be? And what kind of evidence do you have saying this was any kind of secret relationship and nobody knew about it?
Did you and Kayla ever discuss this?
Yeah, Kayla and I definitely discussed what the heck just happened and stuff like that. There were no good, understandable, justifiable leads that ever got brought up because it was just such a confusing thing that this could possibly happen to such a person. This quote-unquote secret relationship that people talk about, I personally doubt that's a real thing because her and Kayla were so tight that Kayla would have known about it. They were not a pair of friends to be holding back any information. It was just extremely confusing. I mean, you'd think Kayla, being as close as she was, would be the one to know about that relationship if it truly existed, or would be the one to know if Ashley did something a little shady or was with somebody shady once or twice, anything. And she was as in the dark as somebody who just met Ashley on the street and knew nothing about her as far as why this might have happened. I would imagine that Kayla would be the one, if anybody, to have seen or spoken to or, you know, met this individual. Ashley and Kayla were largely connected and almost joined at the hip. I think if anybody would have any kind of memory of this actual person, she would probably be the one. But that's just adds to, kind of compounds the confusion because she has no idea. The only thing I imagine that she maybe didn't want her parents to know was maybe partying that was done back in the day. When we were young and trying to drink a couple beers and listen to some music and hang out with our friends. You don't want your parents to know that kind of stuff. I didn't want my parents to know that kind of stuff. Everybody was doing it. It's not a big secret that high schoolers try and kick back and be cool once in a while. We certainly were no exception to that rule, but that was not largely a big bad secret. That was kind of a, hey, you know, don't tell my mom I drank that beer the other day, please.
Was Ashley a big partier?
No, I could count on less than all of the fingers on one of my hands the times that we'd actually gone out and Ashley was with us, and any kind of drinking or unsavory events like that going on. It definitely wasn't a frequent thing.
Where did these parties take place?
So, can we go off record on this for a couple minutes?
Austin wanted to go off the record to share some sensitive information. He, understandably, did not want to discuss on the record where these parties have happened. Austin believes that some of the people that were at these parties should have likely been investigated more. As we continue on our pursuit for justice, it is my hope that people will start to share additional details about these parties. If you're listening to this and have details, this is your cue to call our hotline, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For now, we go back to Austin as we switch gears. One of the things that I am most curious about is how this impacted your friend circle, and specifically Kayla, who was Ashley's best friend.
After Ashley's murder, I think all of us were a little shaken up and concerned and disturbed. Especially Kayla, because of how close they were, was probably a little more concerned than most that maybe if Ashley's dead, why, you know, wouldn't there be a reason for Kayla to be a target for something? I don't think it was ever assumed that that would happen, but I'm sure it was a thought in the back of at least her mind. I know it crossed my mind. I was a little concerned for her. I didn't want her out and about alone, at least not right after that. I always kind of made sure either I was with her or, you know, taking her, dropping her by her family's house where there were people home. If there wasn't anyone home, I think I waited for her mom to come home a couple times, things like that. So it was never like a real outwardly expressed concern, but it was on the mind, certainly.
So how did Ashley's death impact Kayla?
Kayla was not the same person afterwards, at least not soon afterwards. I'm sure today she's not the same. Kayla outwardly probably took it like one might expect, just a very sad period of time for her. She was maybe a little quieter than usual, in her head a lot. I tried to be there for her, you know, obviously as much as I could. And it's just kind of like, what can you do for somebody in that position? You know, I made it very clear that I was there for her, but I didn't want to be in her face about that. I needed to give her own space to think and process stuff, but be there if she needed me and when she needed me. Which honestly, she really didn't need a whole lot from me. She just needed to think to herself and understand herself what was going on. And I think it was a good thing that we had each other through that time, but she didn't by any means need anybody. She was very strong. And I think probably her relationship with God is a big part of that. And she's an amazing person. I think she took it about as well as anybody could, but it definitely affected her.
Austin, I really appreciate you joining us today. Tell me, before we end here, why did you decide to do this interview?
To maybe shed some light on these little corners of Ashley's life and the investigation that maybe a majority of the people hadn't really been exposed to before. My biggest hope is that something does get kicked out that lends a little bit of aid to this case. Since this tragedy, I have gone through a very wide spectrum of changes. I also think back of the times we spent at work or hanging out together, the group of friends we had. A lot of times my mind will go to, well, would me and Kayla's relationship have been different afterward had this not happened? What would life look like today with Ashley Love still in the picture? You know, would we still be hanging out and telling stupid jokes or still be working at Arby's? I look at these changes that my life's taken, and I do think about how different it might have been had things not taken place the way that they had.
Austin isn't the only one who wonders how different things might have been.
The event that happened to Ashley made me, to this day, still wonder and subconsciously care for those that worked at Arby's and how are they doing with their life today. Like, I am always going to be curious and hopeful that they are able to carry on their lives after that event in a positive manner, and whatever they've gone through from that time period through now, if there's something I could ever say to any of them, one of them is, I'm still here to talk, regardless of all of us going in our different directions. And I'm like tearing up. That's what gets me the most. How it affected everybody else.
That's Ashley's boss from Arby's. We'll be hearing from him next time on Love and Justice. Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Mattia Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Editing by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. A very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio Los Angeles. Episodes of Love and Justice feature news clips from WYSN 12 News, Fox 6 News Milwaukee, CBS 58 News, TMJ 4 News, and City Channel 25. As we continue our pursuit for justice, I hope that more people will start to share additional details about these parties. If you have clues, this is your cue to give us a call on our hotline. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is a cash reward of $5,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.